necessarily planning to do a fourth part in a presentation about the two anointed ones from Zechariah 4:14. Let's read what this is all about, and we'll go from there. Zechariah 4, beginning at verse 11, says, "Then I answered and said to him, 'What are these two olive trees at the right of the menorah and at its left?' And I further answered and said to him, 'What are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains?' Then he answered me and said, 'Do you know what these are?' And I said, 'No, my master.' So he said, 'These are the two anointed ones who stand beside the sovereign of the whole earth.'" So two anointed or two chosen ones stand together with but beside Yahweh. This prophecy is not only referenced but repeated in Revelation 11 beginning at verse 1. Okay. Okay. Revelation 11, verse 1. "Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, 'Rise and measure the temple of Yahweh, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles,'" it has been given to the nations. "And they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. That's 3.5 years. "And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. Clothed in sackcloth." Who are these two witnesses? Conveniently, it's answered in the next verse. "These are the two olive trees and the two menorahs standing before the Elohim of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner." Must be. It sounds like that's a command. "These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have the power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire." Now, one obvious difference between Zechariah and Revelation and these events described in Zechariah and Revelation. In Zechariah 4:11, it says, "Then I answered and said to him, 'What are these two olive trees at the right of the menorah and at its left?' And in Revelation 11:4, we read, 'These are the two olive trees and the two menorahs standing before the Elohim of the earth.'" Standing before, not beside, the Elohim of the earth. When I read this, I was reminded of verses 10 through 13 in Revelation 1. "I was in the Spirit on the day of Yahweh, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, 'I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last.'" And actually, the Messiah probably did not say, "I'm the Alpha and Omega" to John. He probably said, "I am the Aleph and the Tau," which are the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. "And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven assemblies which are in Asia, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." Verse 12, "Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden menorahs. And in the midst of the seven menorahs, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. Here, clearly, the seven menorahs depict the seven assemblies in Asia. Actually, all of these seven assemblies are in what is today called Turkey, the nation of Turkey, a land anciently ruled by Syria, the nation Yahweh set against the 10 tribes of the house of Israel. So who exactly do you think were the main congregants of these seven assemblies? Right, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Further, do you think Paul visited, who do you think Paul visited as he traveled even further west through Greece and Rome? Well, I believe these are none other than the same people, Ephraim, as foretold by Jacob when he blessed his sons. Let's go there into Genesis 49 and see what Jacob said to Joseph. Genesis 49, 22 through 25. Joseph, whose son of promise was Ephraim, is a fruitful bough. Now, fruitful bough means increasing sons. It is Porat Ben, of which Porah is the root of the name Ephraim, a fruitful bough by a well. Okay? His branches run over the wall. Could these be the branches grafted into Israel? Of course. Verse 23, the archers, and that would be ancient Syria, have bitterly grieved him, shot at him, and hated him. But his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty Elohim of Jacob. And in parentheses in the text, from there is the shepherd, the stone. If you recall from discussions we've had in the past, the word stone here is made up of two words, Ab, which means father, and Ben, which means son. The word is Eben, the father and son of Israel. Verse 25, by the Elohim of your father, who will help you, and by the Almighty, who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, and blessings of the breast and of the womb. Verse 26. The blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors, up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. Wow. We've heard that quote before. How many of you knew that it was referring to the 10 tribes of Israel, the house of Israel? They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. That would be Joseph. Well, who is the crown upon Ephraim? Well, the crown would be Yahshua the Messiah. And I suggest that his sacrifice and the spirit granted to those who follow him is the blessing spoken of here. Now let's go to Revelation 11, verse 7, where we left off earlier. This is the revelation about the two witnesses. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit. So when does this take place? This is after the millennial reign. The beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street. And the street is a way of passage, as through a great valley. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city. And this term here, a great city, is a reference to Babylon, or the word Babylon means confusion, which is referenced 8 times in the book of Revelation. For example, in Revelation 18:21, it reads, "Thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down." The great city. Which, and continuing on in Revelation 8, Revelation 11, verse 8, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. Sodom and Egypt were both places where horrible profanities were done. Spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where our master was impaled. Not literally, of course, but in a place that is devoid of reference to Yahweh and his son Yahshua. Verse 9. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. In the same manner that the prophets of old tormented the people of Israel with the truth and were killed to justify their rejection of the law of Yahweh, these prophets that John is seeing also tormented the people of all Israel with the truth and were killed to justify their rejection of the law of Yahweh. The word prophets in this verse does not necessarily apply to the ancient prophets of Israel. I suggest for your consideration that they are future prophets, those of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah. And please note that a prophetic day is a year. So, in that sense, these witnesses, these two appointed ones, lay unburied for 3.5 years. The word prophets is the Greek word prophetēo, and it is made up of two words which together portray superior inspired speakers. Sodom, as described in Revelation 11:8, is referenced also in Ezekiel 16, beginning at verse 46, which reads, and then, of course, he's speaking to the house of Judah, "Your elder sister is Samaria, who dwells with her daughters to the north of you. And your younger sister, who dwells to the south of you, is Sodom and her daughters. You did not walk in their ways, nor act according to their abominations, but as if that were too little, you became more corrupt than they in all your ways. As I live, says the sovereign Yahweh, neither your sister Sodom nor her daughters have done as you and your daughters have done." Now, while pondering this vision of John's in Revelation 11, I tried to picture the actual events in the future. And the image of Ezekiel 37 came to mind. Millions of bones laying on top of the soil. And I remembered that this was the whole house of Israel, all 12 tribes. Could this be the same event that John envisioned? But before we look into this further, let's read the last part of this section of Revelation 11, beginning at verse 11. "Now after the 3.5 days, the 3.5 years, the breath of life from Yahweh entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, 'Come up here.' And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In the same hour there was a great earthquake, and 1/10 of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the Elohim of heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Note that they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. Well, now let's go to Revelation 19, and beginning at verse 11 there. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped, and in Greek that word is bapto, meaning covered, and rather perhaps means that his robe was baptized in blood. And his name is called the Word of Yahweh. Okay, this obviously is about Yahshua. Verse 14. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. That would be the scripture, the word of Yahweh. That with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress, the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty Yahweh. Now, in most texts, there's just one word, winepress, written. But in the Greek, there's two words, and they're two different words. The first word, winepress, refers to grape juice, or the fruit of the vine. And the second, to fermented wine, tumo, is fermented, from which we derive the word tumult, and oinos, from the Hebrew yayin, or wine. Okay? And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Sovereign of Sovereigns. And that in Greek, that's Basileus Basileon, literally, the foundation of the foundations of power. And Kurios Kurion, which means the supreme authority of supreme authorities. Now, regarding the phrase, and on his thigh a name was written, the Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary suggests that anciently, the thigh was touched in taking an oath as the seat of strength. It symbolizes Messiah's humanity as sprung from the loins of David according to his covenant, and now the glorified Son of Man. So could the events described in Revelation be the same events found in Ezekiel? Could the bodies left unburied for 3.5 years in Revelation be the same dry bones of Ezekiel? And could the two olive trees be a picture that Zechariah had in his mind? Now, at this point in the preparation of my sermon, I had to choose whether or not to read through Ezekiel 37 in its entirety and risk confusing or tiring everybody, or saving this and more for a future sermon. I will say this, there seems to be an amazing correlation between Ezekiel 37, Zechariah 4 and following, and Revelation 11 that I should present in a following sermon. I have a hunch, which I intend to corroborate, that Zechariah's vision, Ezekiel's vision, and John's vision are one and the same event. However, just as the four evangels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all about Yahshua's ministry, but from four different perspectives, we may discover that Zechariah, Ezekiel, and John each viewed their vision from different perspectives.